Hello and welcome back to Diamond Gems. I'm your host, Jacob, and today I am solo again just because this is another stadium review episode, and I was the only person that's a member of this podcast that was in attendance at a game at Petco Park between the Kansas City Royals and the San Diego Padres, and that took place at Petco Park. Hence why I am reviewing Petco Park. And first of all, if you are new to the podcast, welcome. If you are a returning guest and you have not already left us a kind review, followed us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports, and, you know, subscribed, liked, whatever, to our show on whatever platform you're on. And if you haven't checked out our YouTube page, Shaped by Sports, what the hell are you doing? Please get on that. We would much appreciate it. And I mean, come on. It's the least you could do. The show is free, right? I'm not sure how many people would be paying for this, but, you know, it is free. That's a fact. Anyways, let's get into the episode. So the last one that we did, obviously, Chase Field. I was on a vacation it was a bit of a road trip, and we had a stop in Phoenix, and our final stop was in San Diego. I was actually in San Diego in 2018 as well, and when we were there, it was December, so there's no baseball being played, but I really wanted to check out Petco Park, so we swung by Petco Park, and just even the outside of the park in that area is actually really cool. They have like a Tony Gwynn statue. They have this whole kind of outdoor area with some plaques. And I don't know if it's like part of, I think it might be kind of an extension of their Hall of Fame that kind of is just outside. And they have a bunch of like, you know, key players and stuff like that and information from them. It's a really interesting little area there. You can actually see into the stadium from the ground level. You can see the old building, the old factory building that is a part of Petco Park. And it really just made me want to watch a game there. And I knew in 2018 when I went that I was going to like Petco Park just based on the surrounding area, what I'd seen on TV, and what I could see from when I was there. And let me tell you, it did not disappoint. Petco Park has jumped. I was having a discussion yesterday with Isaac, who is the co-host of the show, who's not joining today. And I felt kind of crazy saying that I think this is my number two stadium overall. I don't know if I should have saved that for the end of the podcast, but just a little sneak peek of what we have coming, I guess, of the excitement and everything I'm going to tell you about. But yeah, I still think PNC for me is my favorite park that I've been to just because of the unbelievably scenic backdrop, the open air of the concourse and everything there. Anyways, this isn't a PNC review. I'm not going to get too far into it, but that is my favorite stadium still, I think. But Petco Park, my God, the people of San Diego, Padres fans, you guys have a hell of a ballpark that you get to watch your games be played at. And truthfully, like, I would love to move to San Diego at some point. I think it's a really awesome city. And, you know, I like being coastal. I'm not right now. I'm in Montreal. But I would love to be coastal if the weather is warm enough, which our coastals in Canada are not very warm anyways. So what's the point? But yeah, I'm getting off track here. But I like San Diego a lot, and I think that, like, if I could live there full time, I would probably just become a Padres fan, if I'm being honest. I'd still have a special place in my heart for the Blue Jays, of course. I would still watch their games and root for them, but I'm sure the Padres would easily become my National League team, because it would just be amazing to just, anytime you want to go watch a ball game, like, that's where you get to watch it. The whole place is an experience. They have anything you could ever need, not just in a baseball game, but like if you their entire selection of food and drinks and shops and social areas is basically more than what like a small town would have. It was crazy, the selection and variety that Petco Park brought to the table. So let's start though with the location. So getting to the ballpark was pretty easy, I guess. We were actually staying in La Mesa this time because there was seven of us. So we had to rent a house, which becomes quite pricey. So you obviously, you know, we didn't want to stay right downtown. There's not a lot of options for right downtown that fits seven people comfortably. So we were in La Mesa. We drove to the game and parked at the Metro Convention Center. I don't think parking was too crazy. I didn't pay for it, but I don't think it was too bad. And it was actually really easy to get in and out of there after the game. Normally, like when you park right by the stadium at downtown places that I've been to, there is a lot of traffic coming out of the area, and it really wasn't that bad at all. Everything was pretty well moving, like was moving pretty well. So no complaints on that end. Their public transit system is pretty good. I think they have like the trolley. And also we had actually came from Coronado Island that day, which is an interesting place to check out if you're ever in San Diego. We didn't do it the first time we were there, but this time we did. And cool little spot. And so but you can take a ferry across. So at the time, if you were coming from Coronado across on the bridge, I think it would have been an absolute shit show, because we were considering taking an Uber just from Coronado to there, because there is a bridge that goes across. But the Uber driver was like, no, take the ferry. We're going to be stuck on the bridge for a while. The traffic looked really bad. And it was a 6:40 game. So like obviously rush hour on a Tuesday. And yeah, so it's kind of understandable that there was a lot of traffic at that time, I guess. But the ferry is great. It's $7 a person and super easy. You pay right at the docks, I guess. And then you just jump on. It's like a 5-minute ride across the water, and it's kind of cool to be out on the boat and just look around at the city from that point of view. And yeah, we liked that. That was easy to get there, and people were also coming in early. Jasmine and I stopped at a place called City Tacos and got these like pretty good tacos, not the best we've ever had, but pretty solid tacos. And all of the Padres staff, we just saw all of these people coming in with like their gear on. But I think it was all the employees that were arriving to work about like 5 or 6 hours before the game actually started. And they all seemed to be like walking or had just got off a bus or subway or something like that. And at that time, it wasn't that busy. I think San Diego seems to be one of those cities, again, that's, it's very widespread, so people are often driving, and it's kind of built in a way that like the infrastructure supports you being able to drive or take an Uber pretty easily. So I don't think you'll have any problems getting to the ballpark. And then the surrounding area around the ballpark is great. You're actually near the gas lamp. I keep calling it the gaslight district just because I think that's kind of funny. But I think it's actually called the gas lamp district. And there's a bunch of restaurants and little shops and stuff in there. It's a cool little area of the city. And you're basically right there after the game, the exit that we came out and like going to the Metro Center. It's like pretty close to there. So you have a ton of options in there for food and drink. One thing that we noticed that was really interesting is people in the area like really heavily support this squad. You go into like coffee shops and stuff or restaurants, and they just have signs that say Go Padres. They have Padres logos and merch and everything just hanging out in their stores. So I think it's kind of cool. You get down there early and you go into all these places and you enjoy the local, what the local area has to offer. And you just kind of like start picking up the vibe of like, okay, this is, we're in Padres country right now. This is, the people are already, you know, they're supporting the team. There's just like that energy. So I love that. And yeah, I mean, it's great to have all of those little restaurants and shops and stuff right outside, especially like the bars and everything, because, you know, you can pre-drink or, you know, pre-party, whatever it is you like to do. You can do that before the game, or you can, after the game, like keep the party rolling and go into the bars and the restaurants and stuff like that. So I love that element of it. So I'm going to give the location for Petco Park an A minus, because I do think that anytime you have a ballpark downtown, as great as it is, that you are probably going to experience a little bit of traffic and a little bit of difficulty kind of getting in and out. And, you know, people that live outside of the city, a lot of people don't like the hassle of having to go downtown. So I'm going to give just the slightest negative to them in the form of an A minus, which is still a good grade. So don't take it the wrong way. It's a good location. I liked it, but I feel like maybe local people would maybe not agree with me as much. I'm not as tuned in as they are, so I don't want to overdo how good the location is. But I liked it. Okay, food and drink. This is where Petco Park excels. I was blown away by the selection that they had at Petco Park. I honestly was, it was crazy to me to see the amount of options that they had and the amount of like high quality options that they had. All I can say is they had acai bowls. What fucking ballpark have you ever been to that has acai bowls? I'm not saying that they were like high quality good ones. I don't know. I didn't have any. But it looked good. They had all of the fresh fruit laid out for you to pick from. It all looked really high quality and good. So I think it probably would have been delicious. And it's just wild to have that. It was honestly like in a couple sections, we were walking around the 500 or the 100 level for a while. We did like a full lap. And there was like a section of that where around where the acai bowls were, and there was like a burrito shop and stuff like that. It honestly felt like we were walking through a market. It was so crazy. The concourse as well. Sorry, this is food and drink. I'll focus on that after. But yeah, I'm just going to rip through. I pulled up their concession vendors here, and I'm going to rip through them. Okay, so you got the 0.394 bar. That's obviously a bar for food and drink. You got to have a couple now. I've realized that that's actually a great thing to have at a ballpark. They had a couple of them. That's just one of them. They had Alpine Beer Co., which is a former San Diego County brewery. And they had beer and barbecue style sandwiches. Then you got Barrio Dog, which was Tijuana style bacon wrapped hot dogs. And somehow they had vegetarian friendly options. So I don't know what those vegetarian options were, but that's what it says online. They had beer bat steins, if you want to get a big beer bat full of, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. It's a big plastic bat full of beer. There's a wine market, another restaurant. There is a seafood market and grill. This is what I'm saying about it being like a market. It literally felt like a market at times. Board and brew, seafood and oyster bar. Then obviously they have your standard ballpark eats. There's a Budweiser ballpark eats that had, you know, hot dogs, veggie dogs, just ballpark standards, pretzels, coffee or nachos, stuff like that. Carnitas snack shop, self-explanatory, the carnitas, craft beers of San Diego. There is like, oh, the Cravery, which is basically like gourmet cookies and ice cream sandwiches and stuff like that. There's a rum bar. You got Mexican street corn. What else we got? Cheese steaks. Ho Dad's is like, I think like a San Diego local chain, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, yeah, it says hamburgers from famous San Diego institution. I think they had veggie burgers there too. Frozen popsicles and like mojito pops. That's kind of fun. They had a Jack in the Box if you want some standard, you know, fast food. There's a lemonade stand. You got, what else we got here? It's actually crazy. This is like such a long list of concession. The Loft is basic stuff. Oh, Mr. Softy, if you want soft serve ice cream. They did it like in the helmets and stuff like that. There's a sushi place, Negihama Sushi, fresh grab and go sushi. And that's from a, it's the sister restaurant of Uni Sushi, which is in Mission Valley. So kind of a local place to support. And there's pizza. They had another Mexican place called Puesto. And that was, they say, local grab the braised short rib taco, margaritas, birria, guacamole, or al pastor burrito. And I think that the guys sitting beside me had Puesto Mexican burritos. And I got to say, they look fucking good. They look real good. And smelled good. And they had like the little cilantro sauce and all that extra stuff. It looked like the real deal. There's a barbecue place again. And then Sam Bazin. That was the place that had the acai bowls. They also say that they have margaritas. And yeah, pretty crazy. There's a hot chicken stand. Another seaside market. Yeah, lots of seafood. You are by the ocean. So yeah. Oh, another sushi bar. So there you go. It's pretty crazy how much they had. It actually says at the bottom of the Petco Park Insider list of concessions that I'm reading off here. Overwhelmed? Yeah, a little bit. There was so much to try out. I love that they had, it felt very local. Obviously there was a couple bigger chains in there, but they, being so close to like the Mexico border and being very close to Tijuana, it's great to see how much Mexican food they incorporated into the ballpark. And also all of the like seafood and everything is great, because that's obviously, when you're in San Diego, a lot of people are looking for some seafood. So I think that they really actually hit it out of the park with this, pun intended. And so that's obviously an A+. It was by far the best variety and quality of food I've ever seen at any ballpark. And it really wasn't even particularly close. And that's saying something, because even at Chase Field, they had some good options and stuff like that. But yeah, it's wild. I mean, I haven't been to, there's still stadiums I haven't been to, like Dodger Stadium. I imagine being in LA, they might have a lot of, you know, hip and trendy options and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm realizing that I'm saying stuff like that a lot. And I hope that I probably shouldn't have tipped you off on that, because now everyone's going to hear that. But I'm going to try to stop saying it so much, okay? Ballpark attractions. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, the Chase Field episode, basically ballpark attractions I categorize as things that you can do inside of the ballpark that aren't just watching the baseball game that's being played. So what they had to offer at Petco Park was absolutely on par, if not a step above the MLB standard. Well, it was definitely a step above the MLB standard, but one of the better, probably not the best, but it was great. So let's kick it off. I think you have to start in the Hall of Fame. I said this in the last episode as well, but I've always found it to be almost a necessity that you include your team's Hall of Fame at your stadium. It's great for people to actually be able to understand the history of the franchise and the organization and just get a little bit of background. And people that are diehard fans of the team can go and catch a glimpse of nostalgia and just reminisce on all of their favorite players and, you know, past success and all of that kind of stuff, especially if things are not going very well for the team at the time, it's good to actually be like, look, guys, was it always bad? So, yeah, their Hall of Fame was great. Like I said, they have the monuments and stuff outside, and it's really, like, very visually pleasing. They have it set up in a really nice way. It's not tacky at all. And then you go into the indoor part of the Hall of Fame, and the amount of memorabilia and just interesting, they had like video components, and they had a lot of interesting information in form of like text and old newspapers and stuff along those lines. So yeah, I really enjoyed their Hall of Fame. Honestly, I do think that the one at Chase Field was a little bit more interesting to me, but I think that it might just be because first of all, it wasn't very busy at the one at Chase Field. It was pretty empty, actually. So I felt like I had more time to actually enjoy it. But at Petco, it was super busy, very crowded. So I felt like I was kind of rushed along a little bit. So I probably passed over some things. So maybe I shouldn't even say that it was actually not quite as good as the one at Chase Field. But I also am a huge sucker for like Randy Johnson and some of the past uniforms and everything that the Diamondbacks had. So maybe that's why I had a bit of an affinity towards that one. But nonetheless, the Petco one was awesome as well, and highly recommend checking that out to get it started. And then once you get past that, you can walk through their little park area. I swear it was called Balboa Park, but that can't be right because I went to Balboa Park in 2018, and it's this whole, there's a bunch of gardens and other interesting kind of outdoor, like a greenhouse, things along those lines. I think I must have read it wrong. I don't know what the actual name of the park is, and I'm sure I could have looked it up, but I don't want to now at this point. But there's a little park that is actually basically fenced off in the perimeter of Petco Park, and you have to have a ticket during a game time to go into that area. And it was actually Bark at the Park night when we were there. And so anybody that wanted to come with their dog had to be confined to this area. But it's actually pretty cool because the park area is just like kind of this nice grassy area where you can lay a blanket down, have a, kind of like a picnic vibe. And they televise they have the game on a big Jumbotron screen, right, easy for everyone in the park to see. So it kind of gives you that vibe of, you know, when there's a playoff hockey or basketball games, you tend to see people outside the arena. And like in Toronto, we called it, it's in Maple Leaf Square, and they call it like Jurassic Park when the Raptors are in the playoffs. I know Milwaukee, the Bucks, had like a crazy one going as well. It's a pretty common thing. I'm sure every sports fan listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. But you could kind of turn this little park into an area like that, but kind of more chill and laid back, which is great. They also had a huge stage in that area, so I don't know if they put on concerts and stuff after some of the ball games, but that was pretty cool. They had a wiffle ball diamond for the kids. They absolutely loved that. It was a cool little diamond, basically like what you would want a dream backyard wiffle ball park to be. It was great. There was a bit of a line for kids to play, but they were out there playing nonetheless, and looked like a great way to keep some young kids entertained if the game isn't engaging enough for them. So loved that. And there was also a playground, again, keeping your little brats busy. And yeah, it was great. The park there is awesome. You have the factory, and inside there they had, again, Padres fans, I'm sorry. I walked through it quickly when we were on our way out, but there was a whole bunch of, I think it had to do with a college. It was like related to a college, and there was a whole bunch of stuff in there that was like plaques and past awards and things like that. But you could check that out. Maybe give me a more in-depth, send me a DM and tell me what was actually going on, because I was a little confused by what that all of that stuff was about. But maybe if you're into college sports, that and that's actually what it was, that would be a really cool area. It was kind of cool just to like walk through that building though as well, because you always see it on TV and you don't really know what it looks like. So to actually be able to walk into it was kind of interesting. There was elevators to get up to those patio areas for the building as well, but they were tended to, like, people were making sure that not just anyone was going through there. So you can't, I don't think you can go up there unless you have the proper ticket to get up there. So still interesting though. I think that it's one of the weirder kind of quirks of any Major League Baseball diamond to just have a factory kind of like built into your stadium, or build the stadium, I guess, around the factory. I love that. So yeah. What else we got? Yeah. Like I said, lots of bars and social areas. There was in the upper level, in the upper deck, there was a sunset patio, and it was aptly named because we were sitting by the sunset patio, but we weren't in it. But we did see actually a great sunset from our seats at the game. So that was pretty cool. And looked like a poppin' area. There was picnic tables and stuff, and then just a bar right there. And people were partying, and you still have good sight lines to the field as well from there. So love that. They had a super expansive team store, one of the best that I've been to. Cool, interesting things that you can't get online, I don't think. And I like it. I got the coolest mini bat I've ever got as well. That's one of the things. I collect a mini bat from every stadium that I've gone to. So now I have 21 of them. And this was the coolest one that I have. And it was like, I think it was called Pillbox, is the company that made it, so shout out to them. But it was laser engraved, I believe, with all of these crazy little details, and you could, you know, because it was engraved, it was very textured and everything. So I like that element of it, because all of the other ones I had are just kind of like the basic Louisville Slugger ones that are painted a color and then have the team logo on them, which is great still, because you can get a lot of unique ones, but to have this engraved one was really cool. Although I will say, I thought it was going to be like $12, and I got up there and they're like, this is $30. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy it anyways, but I'm not too happy about it. I almost like went back and just got a more basic one, because $30 for a mini bat seems a little expensive, but I mean, you're paying for the details, right? So we'll see. We'll see if over the test of time I decide that was a worthwhile purchase. But ballpark attractions, you're getting an A+ for me, because it's tops. Tops in the league. And yeah. All right, field of play and spectator experience. Unbelievable. This is going to be another one where I rave about. Gorgeous backdrop of the San Diego skyline, or at least the surrounding skyline. And like we said, we saw sunset from there. You can kind of feel the breeze off of the ocean. And yeah, the backdrop is beautiful. Even the batter's eye that they have there is really nice. It's this big green kind of, I don't know if it's ivy, but it's a big green plant wall and has the San Diego logo in it, and it looks really, really nice. Obviously the factory building in left field is a super interesting characteristic of the ballpark, and just quite visually appealing and kind of cool to look at. It's unlike anything you've seen at a ballpark. And all of the different patio areas and spectator vantage points keep giving you things to kind of observe, and, you know, lots of people watching that you can do. I think it's good to have your ballpark not just be completely cookie cutter and have all of these interesting little things that kind of make it unique. And Petco definitely had that. It was also really interesting to see the areas surrounding the ballpark. Like, you could see some of the apartment buildings had a view of the game. So it was kind of cool to look up and watch people that were like sitting on their balcony watching the game or had flags out. It was kind of like Wrigley in a way, where anyone that's ever been to a Wrigley Field, you'll note, or watched it on TV even, you can see there's these apartment buildings behind Wrigley Field that have bleachers on the top of them. And I'm pretty sure that like they scalp tickets to the game from that vantage point. Now, I heard rumors that at one point they were going to put up big screens to block them, and I don't think that ever happened. So I don't know if they worked out some kind of deal where the people that own those buildings are giving a percentage share to the Cubs. But that, it's just very unique. And there is some spots like that at Petco Park as well. So I found that pretty interesting. One of the biggest Jumbotrons I feel like I've seen. It seemed absolutely huge, the one that they had there. There were screens everywhere. And honestly, the in-game entertainment at Petco was also great. They had the weirdest facts that I feel like I've ever seen at any of the parks that I've been to. They just kind of kept putting up interesting information for you to read and check out. And even they're just, you know how they show the player coming up to the plate, they give all of his stats and stuff like that. And basically the ones that they had there, it was like a video of them walking up, and it was just the way it was done was really cool. Oh, okay. Also, I just went into my phone, just backtracking here for a minute. Outside of the Hall of Fame, it is kind of an extension of the Hall of Fame. It's Padres and Cooperstown. So basically all of the former Padres that made it to Baseball Hall of Fame are honored outside of the Padres Hall of Fame. And that area is open to the public anytime that there's not a game taking place. So that's an area that I went and checked out back in 2018 when they weren't playing. So highly advise you to go check that out. I was trying to get to, I took a video of one of the facts that was on the screen about Vinny Pasquantino. Oh, it was Vinny Pasquantino, his favorite athlete of all time was Mark Sanchez, which just seems kind of crazy to me. That's, you consider all of the amazing athletes of our generation, and you pick the guy that ran into, whose most notable moment was running into his own offensive lineman's ass, and fumbling the ball. So, strange choice. I don't know if they were literally trolling because Vinny was an opposing player, but they kept putting up facts and weird things like that throughout the course of the game, and it was really interesting. Also, Jasmine and I loved how literal everything was. It was like someone would hit a double and it would just say double, and it was like all this bubbly, like crazy stuff, you know, and a good play would happen and it would just say awesome. It was really funny. I don't, you had to be there maybe, but I found it quite entertaining. And yeah, overall, A+ for me for field of play and spectator experience. So the last thing that I have to review for you all is the vibe and the atmosphere. Again, this is just an intangible thing that you feel when you go into the ballpark. It basically is just, it's the way the ballpark and the fans and all of it comes together to make you feel. And Petco Park just had this constant buzz. Like I said, from even before we walked into the game, there was a buzz about the team because all of the surrounding businesses support the team, and you really feel that kind of admiration for the club. before you even get there. And that just kind of continues from the moment you get into the area to the moment, like the moments leaving the game, because it was constant buzz. People were super social and it felt like a really welcoming environment. I think part of that is probably due to the fact that this fan base has kind of, people know there's, people call it bandwagon fans, but it's just more that a lot of younger fans have really gravitated towards this team over the last few years, with guys like Tatis coming up, and then obviously they bring in Juan Soto. You just get some of the more fun, kind of crazy personalities in sports, and that tends to bring out the younger, kind of not wilder, but just, I don't know. It feels like a young, fun, welcoming energy. And I very much appreciated that, because sometimes you go to stadiums and, or, you know, just different fan bases and stuff are just kind of snooty and seem like they're kind of looking down their nose at you, like they're up on a pedestal. And you do not get that vibe at all from the fans there. And I think that if we want to continue to grow this game of baseball, San Diego and the Padres are a great place to point to say, like, this is how you grow your fan base. Look at all the things they've done in terms of who they've brought in, how they've marketed the team, and how things, like, it's the perfect example of you can attract new fans. People are willing to come to these games, even if they haven't always been diehard baseball fans. So I love that. They love their players. I also love that because, again, sometimes not naming any I will name names, like the fucking Mets, okay? And even the Yankees. But basically just sometimes the New York crowds, if their players aren't doing well, they boo them. They don't support them. They talk shit about them and say, you should be better. That's not the vibe you get here. The struggling people that are struggling, you still feel like the player or like the fans are like, come on, like, you know, you can break out of this. And I feel like that's the energy you actually should have towards your players, because how, like, negativity isn't going to help them play better, but helping them and letting them know that they're supported is at least better for their mental health. And I feel like is the way that we should go about, you know, treating our players. So I love that. I felt that super social atmosphere. Like I said, people were chatting with one another. We were striking up conversations with the people beside us and around us. And everyone was just in a good mood. And this is all despite the fact that in the second inning, Seth Lugo, the starter for the Padres, gave up 5 runs. So they were down 5-0 going into the bottom of the second inning already. And people weren't out of the game. Like, people were still locked in, still cheering for them, still, you know, partying and having a good time at the ballpark. And as they climbed back into the game, ended up being 5-4 in the 9th inning. It got really loud and rambunctious, and you could feel people really wanting them to come back and overcome that deficit. And I got to say, good baseball fans, great atmosphere. One of the more fun places I've been to watch a game. So overall, for vibe and atmosphere, another A+. So high ratings all around. I basically, recapping, gave A+s to food and drink, ballpark attractions, field of play and spectator experience, and vibe and atmosphere. Only the location got an A-, and even A- is solid, and the location is good. I love the location, but I think that there's probably other people that don't love it as much. So that's the only reason it got a bit of a negative for me. But that is all. I hope you enjoyed this stadium review. I highly recommend, if you are trying to start a stadium tour, this is one that absolutely needs to be on your list. It would be a great place to start, but Yeah, you got it. You got to check it off the list. Even the people that were there with us are some of our family, weren't actually huge baseball fans, and they had an awesome time at the game regardless. So it's a great place for newer people just getting into baseball to start and get their feet wet. So yeah, let me play the outro music here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Diamond Gems. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a kind review, like, subscribe, follow on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And you know, you can share episodes too. You don't have to keep us all to yourself. Please tell your friends about us. And check us out on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports. We are also on YouTube at Shaped by Sports. That is our channel. Thank you. Goodbye.